Evan Can Wait, written by Rhys Bowen and read by Roger Clark.
Chapter 1. Do I remember anything of those days? It's as clear as if it was yesterday. I remember the first time she noticed me. It was at Johnny Morgan's going-away party. He just joined the Royal Welsh Fusiliers and he was being sent to France. I thought he looked the cat's whisker in that uniform. All the girls did, too. They were all clustering around him, giving him their addresses and promising to write to him. Then she came into the room. I didn't recognize her at first. Then someone said, "Mafanwy?" "It's never Mafanwy Davis." And she laughed and said, "You're right, it's not Mafanwy Davis. The name's Ginger from now on, honey. Ginger, like Ginger Rogers." She did a pretty good American accent, too. The girls all crowded around her. "Your mam's going to kill you," Gwyneth Morgan said. "She's already tried, but there's not much she can do about it, is there?" She put her hand to her platinum blonde hair. "I can't unbleach it. She'll have to wait until it grows out. And anyway, I like it, and she can't tell me what to do with my own hair." She pushed through the circle of girls and went over to the punch bowl. "Just wait until I get to Hollywood. Then she'll be sorry, won't she?" "So how are you getting to Hollywood, then?" one of the boys asked. "I don't think the train from Blenheim goes there." Some of the other kids laughed, but Ginger looked at him coldly. "I'll get there," she said, "some way or other. I don't know how yet, but I'll get there." Then she looked at me. She had the clearest blue eyes, and they sparkled when she smiled. "Find me a cigarette, will you, Trevor, love?" I was too young to smoke, but I ran all the way to the corner shop and bought a packet of Woodbines with all that was left of my weekly wage packet. I'd just started as an apprentice at the mine, and it was only a few shillings a week. I only kept enough for the cinema and a beer or two for myself. The rest went straight to my mam. Then I ran all the way back from the shop. By the time I got back, Mafanwy was sitting on the sofa with Johnny Morgan, smoking one of his cigarettes, and she had forgotten all about me. That's the way it was with Ginger. I knew I should stay well clear, but it was too late. I was already in love with her. Trevor Thomas, Memories of World War II, recorded.
"Is this it?"
Grantley Smith roused himself from the back seat and peered between the two occupants of the front seats as the Land Rover slowed. Rain was peppering the windscreen too fiercely for the wipers to handle, but the frantic swishing allowed brief glimpses of a steep, narrow road lined with grey stone cottages. A couple of bedraggled sheep cropped the grass beside the stream as the Land Rover went over a stone humpbacked bridge. It was early evening, and the light was fading fast, yet no welcoming lights shone out from windows. In fact, the village gave the appearance of having shut down for the winter. "This is it," the driver said without looking around. The sign said Clanvire.
"Surely you jest," scoffed Grantley Smith, in a voice that had been compared to that of the young Larry Olivier.
He swung around to the girl beside him in the back seat.
"You must have given us wrong directions, Sandy. I thought I told you to get a printout from the internet. This can't be right."
"I did get a printout, honestly I did, Grantley," the girl said, gazing at him with large, pleading eyes. "This has to be the right place. We've been doing exactly what it told us to, all the time you've been asleep."
"You must have taken a wrong turn somewhere," Grantley insisted. "I mean, really, I know we have to get the feel of the place because we're going to be shooting up here, but that doesn't mean that I actually crave a bath in front of the kitchen fire with the slate miners."
If he expected a laugh, he didn't get one. The other occupants of the vehicle had taken turns at the wheel all the way from London in driving rain while Grantley slept sprawled in the back.